Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
I see some new faces. Who's here for the first time? I'm sure you're here for the first time. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Yeah. Amen. Hello. It's nice to have you with us, and I'm actually very excited today because somebody came to share a wonderful testimony with me. I like how now when I'm looking at him, he's like, Glenn, come join me here, please. God is good. And if we can share testimonies, it's a wonderful thing. Glenn, the Bible says we will conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now and then God gives us the opportunity to give the devil a lekker warm klap, like we say in Afrikaans. And when we testify, that's exactly what happens. The devil gets a headache because it shows people that God is real and that God cares. It shows people that God still gets involved and changes people's lives. Now, Glenn asked me very nicely that he doesn't want to say too much. In fact, his words were he doesn't want to say nothing. I can't promise you that. I never did promise you that. But I'm going to be sharing with you just a little bit about what happened. I got a phone call from him in the week, and he wasn't doing very well. He had an episode at his house where something happened, and you almost died. It was like this close for you to die. You couldn't breathe. Your wife says you went pale, blue in the face. Your eyes started popping out, so you were doing your version of the mask. It was like, okay. When that happens, it's normally a bad sign. Things are not good. All right. And how are you? Nice to see you today. So the following day, or yeah, it was the following day, hey, or somewhere like that. The Monday or the Tuesday, yeah. He contacted me because it still hadn't been resolved. They didn't know what was causing this. And I agreed to come to his house to pray for him. That was one of the days when I was going to go pray for you. And I went to pray for him. I got to the house. He told me what happened. And he says to me, please, he asked God to speak to him today. What must we do? And I said to him, you know what? This is what we're going to do. We're going to deal with it from a spiritual point of view, because a lot of physical problems that we have spiritual roots. And if you cannot pull the spiritual roots out, let me explain to you something that a lot of people don't understand. When you see a tree, how would you know what tree you are looking at? How do you know it's a lemon tree or an apple tree or a pear tree or whatever? Do you agree with me that we know by the fruit of the tree? Okay. But now, if you try and kill the tree by simply going and pulling all the fruit off, I've got news for you. Next year, there's even more fruit. And the year after that, there's even more fruit. A lot of us, we try and deal with our physical problems by only dealing with the physical, visible side. But you see, a tree is made up of the fruit, the branches, the trunk, and the roots. If you truly want to kill the tree, you got to get to the roots. Even if you chop the trunk off, in 2 or 3 years' time, it'll push new shoots up and it'll have 5 new trees. Many years ago when I moved into my property, there was some trees very close to where I was going to put the electric fence. And what I did, I took a saw, I took one of these big saws, bow saw, and I cut the trees off. Today, I have trees everywhere, because the same stumps, you can see the stump in the middle, but around, it pushed all these new shoots up. And that sort of like shows us how spiritual things sometimes work. If you attack the visible side, but you don't deal with the supernatural, the spiritual side, in a year or two's time, you have even bigger problems, because these things have a habit of multiplying. And so I said to him, I want to find out a bit about his life, about what happened in him. Because you know what? A lot of us, what we are today, we are because of things that happened to us. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The Bible says, give the devil no place. But sometimes we misunderstand that, because it's not always what I do or what you do that gives the devil place. Sometimes it's what she did to me that gives the devil place. Okay, and I'm not saying you did anything to me. I'm using you as an example. She started looking very stressed there, like, what have I done? No, it's not what I mean. It's just sometimes through disappointment, the way people treat you, abuse. How many of you have ever asked for abuse in your life? But there's a lot of people sitting here that have battled through abuse. But you see, that can open up something inside of you where the enemy gets a hold. And it still needs to be dealt with, whether you like it or not, because wherever the devil has a hold, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When the devil has a hold, he's there. And you see, here's the thing. Forgetting about it and dealing with it is two separate things. It's not the same thing. Many times, this is how we deal with it. We push it way into the dark recesses of our memory banks, and we make like it never happened. But you see, the devil knows it happened. God knows it happened. And until it's not dealt with, it's not dealt with. We spoke a little bit. I spoke about your past. And you had a, let's call it a challenging past. There was an element of abuse. There was an element of disappointment and all of that type of stuff. And I said to him, let's pray about all of these things and ask God to heal you. Because you see, a lot of the hurts that we carry in our soul manifest as sickness in our body. When you are very sad, your body takes strain. But when your soul is hurt, your body takes even more strain. We went through a process. I spoke to him. We prayed about stuff. I led him through prayers to confess, to repent, to renounce, to forgive, to whatever. And you know what? The power of God came upon him. And quite a few things happened. You began to feel different. You could breathe different. And he told me, he shared with me that you were boarded because of your back. Am I correct? Okay, now listen to this. He's sitting at home because his back is all messed up. Would you like to tell them what was wrong with your back?
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot. Sorry. Okay. I've had 5 back operations, and at the moment I'm sitting with screws in my back for lower back fusion. So I've got difficulty in bending and doing normal work, and that's why they boarded me. And that's until Leon rocked up.
And then I first prayed for him about that, you know, what happened with him when his chest closed up and he couldn't breathe and all of that. And then I said to him, you have back problems. He said, yes. I said, I'd like to pray for you for your back problems as well. We prayed. And I could actually feel it was like a the best way to describe it was like a spiritual whirlwind came between, like around both me and him. And I felt this like all around. And I could see something was happening to him because his breathing went quicker and quicker and quicker. And like you could just hear something was busy happening. And to make a long story short, are you getting it again? Well, God's still busy with you. Praise God for that. He says to me, something happened. I said, what happened? He says he felt something happen in his back. He says there was this pain that shot through his back. I said, how are you feeling now? He says, no, he feels a lot better. And then he showed me a couple of things. I wonder if you can show them a couple of things, what you showed me when you came to see me there in the back.
Well, this is how I used to pick up something from the floor. It's on me like this. And I would pick something up. And this is how I can do it now.
Amen. God is good, eh?
Thank you.
Amen. Listen, yeah, I'm very excited, and thank you so much. He says to me, I don't want you to call me forward because I'm shy. I said, no, when God does something, we never shy. We have to show people what God has done. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Thank you. God bless you, eh? Amen. It's always amazing when we see that God is doing things to heal people. And I saw they had to take the screws out of his back and put bigger screws. The screws that I saw were as big as my pinky. It was like massive things. And now he can do that. I would love for you to explain to me how that works. But you see, spiritual things cannot be explained. Amen. All right. towards the end of this year, I said we were not going to be recording. We are actually recording the audio parts of the sermons. If you would like to go and get hold of them, all the sermons that I've preached in the last 4 weeks are available on our website, www.warriorsforchrist.co.za. You can go and listen to them there again if you want. I'm not doing the videos because things went into a different direction, and some of the things is not for the rest of the world to see or to hear. I'm ministering to people individually, and sometimes that's something that I don't want to share with the whole world. Now, today I want to talk to you about something. This morning when I was lying in the bath, you know, I like to lie in the bath because God likes to talk to me there. I think it's because I'm relaxed. I don't know. But many times when I lie in the bath, I begin to meditate on scriptures. And this morning when I was meditating on a scripture, God actually began to speak to me. Now, I'm going to share with you the essence of what I believe God revealed to me. And I believe that these things are very, very necessary. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 14. 14 says the following. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of this world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Okay, I want you to raise your hands for me if you believe yourself to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing full well that if you don't raise your hands today, I have to lay hands on you and pray for you. Amen. Yeah. Okay, so there we go. Well done, boy. I see the ninja man is here with full apparel. Yes. Now, there are two things here that are very important to us because Jesus is speaking to his followers, to his disciples. He's busy teaching them. And the reason we must listen now is because this is the master speaking and he's giving us insight into what is expected of us and what should be present in our lives. And there are two words that is used here that are very, very important, salt and light. Let's talk about salt first. Have you ever cooked without salt? And what did the people, what did the audience say when you gave them the food? There was complaints. I don't know about you, but spicy food is nice food. Okay. And I include salt with spicy. I'm not just talking chili. Yeah. I'm talking about nice flavor. How do you add flavor? How do you add spice to your food? You put some derivative of salt. And even if you had nothing else, just plain old salt would do the trick. The difference between a frown and a smile when people sit at the table is often as simple as adding salt to the food. Why? Because it enhances the flavor. What is God's expectation of you in this world out there? You see, if you look in the spirit realm, you would see a lot of people have frowns and they have long faces. Because if you don't know God, you have no joy. Because true joy comes from God. Now, there might be a clever oak here that wants to know, but what is the difference between joy and happiness? I'll explain to you the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is made up by your circumstance at the moment. If I pull out $1 million here and I give it to you, I'm going to see all kinds of smiles and your eyes are going to light up and you're going to be all happy. But on the way home, you're going to remember that you still got this drama and that issue and that problem, and then your spirit will become heavy again. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is lasting because happiness comes from outside. Joy comes from inside. If you chase happiness, you will always be empty because happiness cannot find its way into your heart, but joy can find its way through your heart to people around you. God wants you to spread joy. The way you are going to be spreading joy is if you spread the gospel. And by spreading the gospel, I am not talking about going out there and Bible bashing people, because it just tends to get people's backs up. Sorry, Amanda. Okay. She's really going to think I'm picking on her today. I actually love you very much. Don't panic. Don't stress. But the fact of the matter is, have you ever had people come up to you and they like bullying you with the Bible? Listen, yeah, it doesn't work for me either. The Word of God is not there to leave a people. And you know what? These whole things of, you know, people like to preach dry of braai. Do you know what that means? Turn or burn. Listen, yeah, the Bible is not there to manipulate people into heaven. If you try and manipulate people through fear into heaven, you are no better than the devil himself, because witchcraft is manipulation and Satan works with witchcraft. So get rid of that. It's not the right approach. Have you ever gone to a poikikos competition? Okay, some of you probably haven't. Who's ever been to like a cook-off? There's different dishes that people have made and you... Yes, we did. But no, it wasn't a competition, and they were both nice. Where's Georgie? Yours was very nice. Where's Eddie? Yours was very nice as well. Thank you. We liked it. When are we going to have it again? Okay. Anyway, imagine you go there, and you eat from this one, and you eat from that one, and you're going to have smile, 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 and then you get to the one where there's no salt. Immediately, it's going to be like, ooh. You know, if you have manners, you're going to take a napkin, and you're going to like... You know, this is my doggy bag. I'm going to give it to the dog later. Where will you find most of the people? With the food that has the most flavor. And will the word spread? Oh, yes, the word will spread. Before you know it, everybody's going to be cooking around this poiki where all the flavor is coming out because people like it. God doesn't want you to Bible bash the people. God wants you to add flavor. God wants you to add spice. God wants you to bring joy, because then people will be attracted to you. But they will not be attracted to you, the person. They will be attracted to you, the person that is letting the flavor of God manifest through your life. All of you know people like that somehow. There are some people in this world that are negative about everything, that complain about everything, that have nothing good to say about nobody. Me personally, I am allergic to people like that. Maybe you are too. But then there are other people that have a kind word, that are uplifting, that are always excited and positive about life. Who do you want to surround yourself with? Now, let me tell you the difference between the first and the second one. The first one is doing what Jesus expected them to do. They are adding flavor to my life and your life. That's why we want to be around them. And in the process of spending time with them and being around them, guess what? They rub off on you. What's the best way to get people to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ? For you to bring them in. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. When they begin to taste what you have, they're going to want what you got. And before you know it, you don't have to say much. You don't have to do much. They're with you. Salvation comes into their life. Salt is important because it adds spice to life. Now, salt has another interesting quality. Have you ever had biltong? Me, I like biltong. I'm the world's foremost expert on biltong. But I want to tell you, biltong has one very big side effect. It's called the thirst after the biltong. Hey. When you eat that pack of biltong, you're not worried about nothing, but half an hour later, you start running for the tap and running for the tap. It creates thirst. But that's also important, because my responsibility in your life is to create within your life a thirst and a hunger for the things of God. If you are very spicy, then Fatima, being in your presence, is going to become thirsty for what you got. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is where people miss the point, and that's where I want to say to you again, Bible bashing people and forcing and manipulating people does not make you many friends. In fact, people turn around and they say, that oak is holier than thou. I don't want to be around that person. No. Let the spice in your life create a thirst in them, and they must want to be where you are. It's not that difficult. Because I want to tell you, the more spice you have in your life, the more salt God puts in your life, the greater the influence it's going to have on the people around you. Amen. People are going to taste it, and people are going to say, oh, I am thirsty. What must people be thirsty for? The living water of God. Amen. Another wonderful quality of salt. Salt is a wonderful preservative. Now, that is very important, because there's something out there that wants to create, what is it when food goes off? Decay. Thank you. I was looking for that word. There's something out there that wants to create massive amounts of decay in people's lives. Who would that be? The devil wants to create decay in marriages. He wants to create decay in relationships. He wants to create decay in society. He wants crime. He wants corruption. He wants sexual perversion, etc., etc. He wants all sorts of addictions. But what is that? That's simply decay. Now, what does salt do? Salt preserves. When you have friends who are in that decay and they begin to spend time with you, the saltiness of God in your life, God wants it to spill over. And where the decay has started, slowly but surely, it'll be turned around. And it'll definitely stop spreading. And they're going to notice it. People are going to notice it. Wow, you know what? Since I'm hanging around with that person, I no longer have these cravings. I feel better about myself. I don't feel rejected all the time. I feel hope. I feel joy. I feel love. What's busy happening? God is working through you, and God through you is adding spice to the life of another individual. And before you know it, they want to know, what is it about you that makes you different? Where do you get this optimism? Where do you get this fire, this drive, this joy that you always have? Oh, it's not that difficult. God is my source. The easiest way to bring people to a place of salvation has very little to do with what you say and everything to do with who you are. You know, the world is full of people that like to say to other people, don't do as I say, do as I do. What we do is more important, because people lie all the time. I don't have to tell you. You know it's true. People will lie when they're in trouble. People will lie when they want something from you. People can be very deceptive, but actions speak louder than words. God wants our actions to bring spice to the life of people. God wants our actions to motivate other people to become like us. Do you know what the purpose is of discipleship? Discipleship is, in a sense, okay, let's look at the first 12. Jesus walked the road with them so that the flavor, the spice in his life would begin to permeate their lives. Once they were filled with that spice, he sent them out and he told them, what I did with you, go do that with others. In other words, you're full of spice now. Now you go spice her life, spice his life, spice her life, spice his life. And then when they are full, they must go out and replicate the same situation. Unfortunately, somewhere along the line, people stopped this process. Maybe people don't understand how it works, and that's why we have to talk about these things. God expects you. God wants you. God needs you to add spice into people's lives. It starts with your wife. It starts with your children. It starts with your husband. It starts with your children. Don't go and try and add spice to people that are strangers, but you neglect your own house, because then something is very wrong. We start here. When the disciples were sent out, Jesus said, go out Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. Jerusalem was their household. There's too many people in this world that want to change strangers' lives, but they haven't even started changing their family's life. We start at home. How do you change your children? Add spice to their life. Amen. Yes, be an example. But how are you going to be an example? God must first fill you with spice, because you have to fill them with the right things. You know, there's a lot of different flavors out there. Why did God use salt? Because lemon juice is sour. Eat food with nice spice, you have a smile on your face. Has anybody got one of those sour sweeties here? Because then I would have called a youngster, yeah, given it to them, and you can all watch the face that they pull. And then you can understand why God didn't use lemon juice or prune juice or whatever. God wants us to add joy to people's lives, but in a godly way. In other words, God wants you to be a person of influence. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants you to be a person of influence. A lot of people think being an evangelist is getting your little soapbox, putting it up, jumping up there, taking your Bible, you know, going like this and shouting and spitting all over the people in the front row. That's not what being an evangelist is all about. You can be an evangelist at the office. You can be an evangelist in your house. You can be an evangelist with your family at the family function. How? Let God work through you and trust God that you are truly going to be. Let me read it to you again. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how then can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of this world. Now, God says you are the salt. In other words, God created you. God called you to be the salt. God doesn't want you to be anything else. That's what God expects of you. Wherever you go, flavor, preserving. Through your conversation, through your actions, you are preserving. There's another wonderful quality of salt. You know, in a lot of countries in the world, when the streets freeze over, they have trucks that come and they drop salt. Now, the amazing thing about salt, it's not hot. It doesn't burn you when you touch it, but once it touches something that's ice cold, it immediately melts it. The world is full of ice cold people. They became cold because they are hurt, because they are full of sadness, they are full of anger, they are full of bitterness. But if God has created in you enough spice, just being in your presence, that heart of ice will begin to melt. Amen. God wants you to make a difference. It's not that difficult. And a lot of us, you know what, we have this thing, it's not my calling to be an evangelist. It's not my calling to change people's minds. Yes, it is, but not in the way that you thought. God doesn't want you to walk up to everybody and confront them with the reality that tomorrow they're going to go to hell. In fact, I want to tell you that that approach very seldom works. Most people get clapped when they try that. But if you begin to live the way God wants you to live, if God works through you the way He wants to work through you, you're going to change people, and they might not even realize that they have changed. There will be no fighting. There will be no anger. In fact, they're going to beg you, how can I become like you? Amen? All right. Then, you are the light of this world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Okay. The second thing that God wants to see in your life, and that is imperative that this should be present in your life, God wants you to be radiant with light. Okay. Number one thing that is very important about light will always expel darkness. Now the Bible says we were born and conceived in sin. If holiness is light, then sin is what? There's not one person here that can tell me that you were born in the light, because you weren't. You were born in darkness. The world right now is in darkness. And you know that I am to some extent speaking metaphorically, because right now the sun is up and we can see there is light. But this is not the light that I'm talking about. There is a spiritual light that is not in you from the day that you are born. You need to be introduced to that light, and you need to allow that light to enter into you. Light is amazing. Have you ever tried to fix a problem in the darkness? It doesn't matter what the problem is. Maybe you're trying to work on an engine and it's dark. Well, you cannot find that hole. That screw just won't go in there. Maybe you're trying to get a wire connected to the back of the television, but the lights are off. You can't get that thing in the right place. There are so many things in this world that are extremely, excruciatingly difficult if you try and do it in the darkness. But flip that switch. It changes everything. What was just impossible now becomes ridiculously easy when the light comes. Where does God want you to live your life? God wants you to live your life in the light. Light shows us the way. You know, God has a path that He wants you to take in life. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To give you a hope, to give you a future. I think a demonstration is in order. I need somebody to come and help me here. Where Elna? There we go. Come and help me here, please. I just know this morning when you woke up, you said, Lord, use me. Now, let's use you. Amen. Careful what you ask for. All right. I need, does somebody have like a scarf or something? Or one of our lappies? Bring me one of our lappies, please. Now she wants to know if I'm going to throw her name away in front of everybody. Not much, not much. Don't stress. You'll be fine. Okay. We're gonna move to that side. Okay. Because yeah, there's too many things we can damage. Do you have medical aid? Okay. I want you to look, yeah. Elna, do you believe with me that God has a purpose for your life? Does God have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, or does God just have a purpose? What would you say? I agree with you. You know, there's a lot of people that think, oh, if I miss the boat, yeah, then I'll just make a plan and I'll do it then. No, God's got a plan. You got to find it. Sometimes it's hard work to find it, but you got to find it. So, Elna, let's say you're out on the ocean and you need to get from where you are now to a destination. What do we need to use to get there? Okay, she's being very deep now. She says a boat. I imagine that she knows she's in the boat and she's going to tell me a compass. But anyway, I can't fault you for your logic. It's female logic, but it still works. Okay, all right. Okay, you need a compass. Do you agree with me? You need a compass. Now, is the spirit of joy touching you now? Well, I'm not going to interfere there. That's fine. If you have a compass, it will show you from where you are now to where you have to go. There's a straight line. And as long as you follow the compass, you'll get to your destination. Do you agree with me? Okay. Now, have you ever noticed that it's a lot easier to get from A to B if you can see where you're going than if you can't? Now, let's say, just for argument's sake, today your destination is... Do you see Spagna sitting at the back there? She's the destination. But now, does the devil want us to reach our destination? Is the devil going to make it difficult for you to find your destination? Is he going to put obstacles in your way? Will he now and then dig a pit for you? He's busy doing that right now. People that go through life blind cannot understand why they fall in one pit after the other pit after the other pit. The devil's busy digging a pit for you right now. You better have some light in your life to show you what's ahead. Because I want to tell you something. If you don't know what is ahead, if you can't see spiritual things, you're going to be in trouble. Okay, so If you have to go from where you are now to there, is it difficult? Go there quickly, let's see. You see, she's focused, she's determined, and she can do it. Right, come back here quickly. You like sports, don't you? Okay, this is a bit of training for you, exercise. I don't charge nothing extra, don't worry. Okay, close your eyes. Oh, no, Uncle Ed, yeah, pull it up. There we go. At least she's honest. I'm very proud of you because some people would have made like nothing happened, you know? Okay, all right. Now, you know what life is like, you know? She said that she's in this boat on the ocean. In a boat on the ocean, the waves push you, yeah, they push you there, they push you there. Don't worry, I won't do it too much. And then before you know it, this is kind of where you are. Find your destination. Okay, stop. Take off your thingy. Okay, she says, I was going to crash into the wall. She's 100% correct. Please give her a hand. So what do we learn from that? If you try to live your life in darkness, you will never reach the goals that God has set before you. You will never fulfill your purpose. You will never reach your destiny. And okay, normally when I do this, I have a little devil digging some holes in front of them. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people today who are stuck in a pit somewhere that they fell into that they never saw coming because they're living their life in darkness. Now, light shows us the way to go. Light illuminates the path God wants you to take. Now, listen to what the Word of God says. You are the light of the world. This world is a very dark place. Whether you like it or not, there is no light in the world. The only source of light in the world is true believers filled with the light. And I want to tell you, the world is a much darker place today than it was 2,000 years ago. Because there's far less true spirit-filled believers. I'm not talking about people sitting in church today, because the churches are full of people who have religious spirits, but they don't have light. God wants you to be a true carrier of the light. And that's where it's got more to do with what you do than what you say. The world is full of people that can quote scriptures, but they don't radiate light. Because to radiate light, you gotta walk in the light as He is in the light. If you don't walk in the light, where are you gonna get light? I want to tell you something. You can't create light. It's not something that works through positive thinking. You go sit in this weird position. You hold your hands and you're like, And now through positive thinking and energies and waves, now you're radiating light. No, you're not. It doesn't change nothing. And it's got nothing to do with how many Bible verses you can quote me. The devil knew the Bible very well. When he challenged Jesus, he used scripture to try and get Jesus to lose vision. So none of those things help you. What helps you is if you walk in the light. You must hear the word and do the word. Practice what you preach. Many millions, in fact, I will go so far as to say many billions of people are lost today. They are stumbling along in the darkness and they never get anywhere in life. And don't you tell me that God wants things to be that way. But you need to understand how things work. When God brought you down here, He gave you choice. If you don't choose to obey His word, there's nothing He can do for you. You know, when you drive down the street and there's a sign there that says 60 or 80 and you do 120 and some oak jumps in front of you, you can blame all sorts of things, but in the end it was your foot on the pedal. Do you agree with me? Now it's the same with life. You know, we like to blame the wife and we blame the kids and we blame the boss and we blame the mother-in-law. And for all mother-in-laws, yeah, we love you all. Okay. Hank. I saw that look. I'm so glad your mother-in-law, your ex-mother-in-law is not here. I'm just messing with you, eh? Okay. But the fact of the matter is, if we miss it, you can't blame nobody. You know, the Americans have a nice way of saying it. The buck stops. Yeah. I cannot blame other people for where my life is right now. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And these things are very important. We need to know how God wants us to be. Now, have you ever gone through a really difficult night? Okay, one of those nights where you couldn't sleep. Maybe you had stomach cramps. Maybe you had restless legs. Maybe all sorts of things were happening, nightmares and all sorts of stuff. And it's like you can't wait for morning to come. And then through your curtains, you begin to see that first glow of the morning sun. What happens inside of you? Yes! You're excited, you're happy. It's like, oh, this night of torment is over. That's what God wants you to do in somebody else's life. Because there's people around you right now, like you had that one night of turmoil. That's where their life is right now. And you see, the thing is, when light comes, everything looks better. This might not be applicable to you when you are an adult, but I want to tell you something. This is applicable to us when we are children. When you are a child and your mom and your dad switches off the light, everything tends to change, doesn't it? The coat hanging there in the corner suddenly becomes a man with a knife. The ball lying there in the corner might resemble a ghost or something like that. Any kind of a noise in the room is something that's going to grab you. It's amazing how when we live in darkness, we are afraid of everything. But you switch on the light and you realize, man, there really is nothing. There's a lot of people that are afraid to make decisions. They are afraid to live their life. They are afraid to commit to things because darkness envelops them and fear controls them. When God's light comes into your life, it takes away all of that because you see things for what they really are. Not for what the devil tries to intimidate you with. How many people were supposed to marry their soulmate because the enemy gave, but because the enemy gave them fear, they ended up 3 divorces later? Or they were supposed to start their own business, or they were supposed to become a doctor or an engineer or this or that, and the enemy controlled them with fear. Because in the darkness, you're afraid of everything. Because you're open to suggestion. Oh, that sound is the boogeyman. That sound is the Leviathan spirit or whatever. And we're like, oh, okay, then I'm actually not going to do nothing. I'm staying right here. You cannot live your life in the darkness. And what God wants is for the light to come into you, and through you, the light must begin to shine in the people around you. You see, one thing about light cannot be contained. Did you hear what they say here? When a light is put on a pedestal where it should be, it gives light to the whole household. If you have one individual that truly gets filled with the Spirit of God in a household that is full of antichrists, it's not going to take that long before the light begins to touch the antichrists around. Maybe you are in a company right now where everybody treats you like rubbish. Just let your light shine. Because I want to tell you something. Light will always expel darkness. Darkness can never expel light. If we go out into the expanse and there's darkness everywhere, there is, it's like one of the, what do you call it when there's no moon? No. Okay, there's just no moon. Yeah, okay. That's what you call it. There's no moon. And seeing as we are in South Africa and we have this funny entity called Eskom, it's just another day in South Africa. There's no electricity. So it's dark. Even if you take one little match, whoosh, you immediately see the darkness run away. That one little match pushes the darkness away. Now, how much more if the light of God is in your life? How much darkness can the light of God push away? How many people's lives are controlled by darkness? How many people are making the same mistakes over and over and over again? You see, the nice thing about... Come here quickly. Me and her are both walking in the darkness. Because she's walking in the darkness, she's going to... No, she's going to break my thing. Okay. Could she see that? I was just thinking about what I said now. That sounded dangerous. Don't ponder that. Now, we're both walking in the darkness. We're both walking in the darkness. What if I suddenly remember, oh, I have a flashlight. I switch on the flashlight. Is it just me that can see the light, or does it help her too? Is my flashlight, but my flashlight changes both my life and her life. You see, my flashlight now shows both of us where to go. And pretty soon she's going to realize, wow, I need a flashlight. She's going to ask me, where did you buy that flashlight? How can I get hold of one? Thank you. You can sit down. Now, Chinatown. There you have it, Chinatown. Now, light. When you have light, the light in you does not just help you. Because of the properties of light, it helps those around you that are also living in darkness. Now, I was talking to you just now about when we have a really bad night and we suddenly see the light come and it brings joy, it brings excitement, it brings enthusiasm. How many people in this world have lived their life in darkness all along? And one day they walk into a true believer who really does have the light shining out of them. And for the first time, they feel this joy enter them. They feel hope. They feel excited. Listen to me. It's not difficult to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is Him working through us. But you must become a vessel. You must become open, and you have to live your life the right way. So, for us to truly be light in the lives of others, we first have to find the light ourselves and be filled with the light ourselves. You've heard me share this many times, but I want to remind you of something that will never change. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and the earth was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. In other words, the world was full of darkness. And God said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. Now, funny. God has not created the sun. God has not created the moon. God has not created the stars. Where did the light come from? God is light. God doesn't need globes. God doesn't need the sun. God doesn't need the moon or the stars or anything else. Do you know why? Because the Word of God says, for our God is a consuming fire.
Can I share something about the light of God?
Yes, come.
When God touched my life, one night I was praying to God for my family, and this was about 8 o'clock at night. I was in the lounge myself, my ex-husband, he was in the room, the kids, they were in the room, and all of a sudden it was this, like I went into a trance. I felt a presence in my sitting room that I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something there with me. I wasn't afraid, but I didn't know what it was. And the next thing, I wish my ex-husband could be here to tell you guys. The next thing, my whole lounge, it became light. It was daylight, and it was 8 o'clock at night. The power of God came over my home, and My kids in the room, my ex-husband in the room, everybody went into the power of God. But my lunch, it went light as day.
God is light. Amen. So, where do we find the light? The Bible says God is light. I'm going to give you a scripture for that. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and what we declare to you. God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. You cannot be light if you don't have light. You cannot be light if God is not in your life. Do you understand that? Now, some people come to God and then they drift away. That's likened to if something was salty and it loses its saltiness, how then can it be made salty again? We can't come to God and then disappear from God and think that we still have the salt and we still have the light. You gotta, once you choose to walk with God, you better walk with God daily. Amen. Because the light is not guaranteed in your life. You will be in the light as long as you choose to walk in the light. Some people choose to move out of the light and go and mess around in the darkness. But I want to tell you something. There's another thing called the Prince of Darkness out there, and he's waiting in the shadows. Let's talk about your life. Let's talk about your family. Let's talk about your children. You know, I live in Walkerville. I live on a small holding, or in good old-fashioned Afrikaans, I am a maploter. I do live on a plot. I love living on the plot. I love the peace. I love the tranquility. I love the privacy. I love everything about it. And there's a lot of room to mess with stuff. I like to tinker with things. I got plenty space. But here's something that I had to learn the hard way. At night, you are not safe if you don't have light. Because you see, the less light you have, the better the chance they will break in. Now, if you go and drive out there, maybe, yeah, in the suburbs, it's not so bad because you got street lights. You must understand, in Walkerville, there's no lights. We did have a robot for a while, but they destroyed it and stole it about 50 times in the first month, and now they've just scrapped the whole idea. So now we don't even have that. We got no light. Now, yeah, you got lots of light there. We have to add our own light. Now, one of the first things that they teach you when you move there is you better put lots of light. Because you see, the criminal element, even though they are daring, they don't like to walk in the light. They are allergic to light because it exposes their works. Now, the devil is exactly the same. The devil doesn't like to hang around where there's a lot of light. Now, you're a mom and a dad, Mr. Sly. Mr. Wilson, where's Mr. Wilson? He's having some fresh air. I'm going to kick his backside. Now, how do you keep your children from the rubbish? I'll tell you how you keep them. You make sure there's a lot of light in your house, and it's got nothing to do with the switch on the wall. Click, 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 click. It's what's going to come from you. You see, didn't the Bible say that the light... Yeah, I'll read it to you. Listen. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. No, 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 that's not it. Instead, put it on a stand and it will give light to everyone in the house. You see, demons are creatures of darkness. They don't like to hang around in the light. If you want your children to walk the road, if you want to keep them safe from travesty, if you want to keep them from oppression, if you want to keep them from disaster, you better make sure there's a lot of light in your house at all times, and the light is going to come from you. And the light will not come because you say so. The light will come because you do so. Listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. How do people see light in you? By what you do. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all about what you do. Listen carefully. It's all about what you do. If you want God in your life, if you want God in your house, live the life that pleases Him. Live that life inside the walls of your house. Then your children are radiated with light. Then your house is radiated with light. And then the darkness doesn't want to come in there because light expels darkness. You know, there's a lot of Christians that have this thing. We are saved by faith, not by works. God doesn't care what we do. The Bible cares what you do. In fact, if you don't do the right things, the Bible says you got no light. I am not very blessed by the grace movement that likes to tell us that the grace of God has saved me and what I do now is irrelevant. You cannot have light if you don't live according to the light, because the light comes through how you live. When you begin to live the godly way, you shine light. When you live like an uncircumcised Philistine, you bring darkness. Then it doesn't help you quote scriptures and you get clever with the Bible, because you change nothing. In fact, why do a lot of young people not want to go to church? Because they grew up with parents that were hypocrites, who kept telling them, do as I say, don't do what I do. Never say that to your children. They're not stupid. They catch on quick. We have to live the right life. Listen to this. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and so praise your Father in heaven. If I want my light to touch your life, it's going to touch your life through who I am, not what I say. Amen. And it's the same with you. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand, please.